Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew.
They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Everyone, welcome to the world according to Drew. I am Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. If I sound like Barry White, I sound like Barry White. Well, I tell you, then something is in the air and it ain't American this morning, but you know what? I'm just like Timex. I take a licking and I keep on ticking. It is the fifth day of December. Where has the year gone? It has gone by so fast. So many things just happening. And you know what? As we approach the end of the year, we're going to be talking about some of the top stories that went on. And we want you to be a part of that. Happy holidays. We kicked it off last week. And as always, read your African American newspapers. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication, Texas Metro News, as well as Garland Journal. No excuse for getting news. And we're going to bring Harold in with some things we're going to talk about. But let me go through the paper a little bit. We have what we call these news blasts. that are going out every day for Metro News, and we'll give you the information on how to get on our, you can go to Texas Metro News online and join in that way so you can get these e-blasts, as they call them today, with some nice information. As always, you know, we have Dr. Frederick Haynes, Frederick Douglass Haynes III, and his thing now, we got the Buy Black going through the holidays. Buy Black Business Spotlight, and we have some things here. We talk about the superb woman, and the superb woman of this week, and I just kind of giggle because I know most of them, is Cheryl Mayo Williams, Master of Science in Public Health, spotlighted. The National Association of Black Journalists, better known as the NABJ, had some awards, and they honored several people in the area. We'll talk about that as well. And if you have some students that are in the journalism realm in college, tell them to join the NABJ. They address all the issues concerning our black journalists. You know, we see more faces that look like ours on the air. But, again, it's a lot of struggle over the years. And they've made some progress. And I just look at Kimberly Godwin Manning, who is the president of ABC News. And, wow, you know, you look at Fox, you look at CNN, you look at ABC, NBC, and CBS, and MSNBC, all of those channels. And there's one shining face, and she's over the ABC News. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we approach the back end of the show. So there's so many things you have to take a look. Again, go online and join Texas Metro News. A lot of you are doing Facebook, so please do. Dallas Independent School District mask mandate in effect until Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Let's read into that. We'll talk about that, Harold. Why it has to end on Martin Luther King Day? It could end on June King. If we're going to do something. But, you know, it's one of the mornings. We're going to have a good time. Good time. Simone Sanders, VP of Harris, chief spokesperson and senior advisor, plans to lead the administration. Why? She is the chief spokesperson and senior advisor to Vice President Kamala Harris. So we got a lot to talk about. So a little time to do it. And let's bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, the mayor of Joppy. Yeah, I say the mayor. You done moved up. Joppy getting a lot of attention around there lately. Let's go ahead and bring in the Prime Minister of all those areas. And did you know this young man grew up on the golf course? How fortunate are we to have him with us this year and previous years? None other than the Honorable Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning.
I can clear my throat, man. But you done put another frog in it, man, trying to choke me up this morning with all that semi-propaganda. But I appreciate it. How you doing this morning, brother?
Well, I'm great, great. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Yeah.
I wish it was holidays. I wish the holidays were just as happy as it could be. But, you know, I want to get you started early. Here we go again, another school shooting. Now, you and I, we've been doing this a minute or two. I think we only had one incident, and that was of late, of us shooting in school. And that happened right here in Mansfield, Texas.
Mansfield, Texas.
You know, a few people were affected, but it was one-on-one, that type of
right.
thing. But no shooting is a good shooting. I don't care.
Right, exactly. Let's not make no light of that. You're right.
No shooting is a good shooting. But this shooting in Michigan was brought on by parents buying a child a gun.
Mm-hmm.
A gun.
You might as well say they bought it for him, because I don't know if you've heard some of the latest, but I've been listening. Go ahead.
Kid goes to unload at school. Unload.
Mm-hmm.
Then the parents try to flee. They get caught. What else can you say? I think these parents, if they set a precedent of making these parents responsible for these kids' actions, I think we'll get a different outcome. I think
Let me interject something. Because as you know, I'm gonna be real, real brief, and I'm gonna try to be.
Try.
Everything was in place. Everything was in place. A teacher noticed that this kid was researching ammunition. Teachers alerted the parents. The mother allegedly texts the boy and gave him an attaboy. You just gonna have to learn how to get caught. That's why they were at the school that morning, because they knew they had a problem with this child. There's so much wrong with this story. It's just a picture of, man, I hate to say it, but the state that this last president scratched off stuff in America. There's been so many underlying groups, and they've been spreading this garbage to their children forever. Now, it's just out in the open, because I'm going to be honest with you, man, some of them have been so misled that they actually think they have a cause to be, and that's sad, man.
Oh,
that's
sad commentary. What,
yeah, that's mm-hmm. sad, man. That's sad. You know, then they tell us to just get over stuff.
Well,
where you want to go with this?
I look at, you made a very valid point there. You know, as of late, and we don't want to give them that much credit, but we know where that seed started growing in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there, but they just needed a avenue, a carrier to spark this. It started in Charlottesville. We should have known then. There are good people
mm-hmm.
on both sides.
Well, he had to still stroke their egos, but still needed them. You know what I mean?
But they have been Black Panther. There have been rallies on both sides, all sides of the ledger for any group. But you're talking about hyper-polarized. When this came about in a kid, I mentioned it before, 18 years old. Wasn't even a thought in his grandparents' mind. They had no idea when civil rights was going on that they would have a grandchild to drive through a rally and kill someone. The boy wasn't even thought of. His daddy barely was thought of when we had the civil rights movement, as well as when they had the voting rights. And then Charlottesville, right there with University of Virginia, Thomas Jefferson, Monticello, everything you can think of during those days, right there in Charlottesville. Beautiful campus. But just because it looks good, that doesn't always mean that it is good. You know, don't judge a picture. What is it? Don't judge something by the picture. I don't know. I'm just so bad right now. But go ahead. Well, the thing is that what we're teaching our kids, and we're looking at it as a whole of hatred in this country. These kids can make a difference in solving some of the problems that we've been encountering as a human race, But when they've been infiltrated, spoon-fed, rebel flags sitting up in the room, and it's all good. We're just making mention of that because right now the way things are going, so much hatred. We know collectively that we did not get here to this point by ourselves. We as blacks, we as whites, it's kind of been a collaborative effort of everyone to get to this point. But now the hands of time are trying to swing back. Kids taking guns to school, kids taking guns across lines to kill people. Now, I honestly feel if they can hold this family accountable in Michigan, why could they have done that in Wisconsin? Why did it happen in Wisconsin? The boy couldn't drive. Sure, he didn't have no money to buy the gun. He walked down the street. Police didn't say nothing. Hell, had it been you and I, it would have been some repercussions and some conversations and probably some funerals if we walking down the street with an AK-15. We have to hold everybody accountable. The law officials, come on, man. First of all, somebody should have pulled him to the side. You look young. Why are you out here? I'm going to take your gun. But no, we're going to let you walk against
it. It ain't that simple, but yeah, I get your point. But
you walking against the current. They parading, going north, you walking south. It's not like you walking with them. And they pass you, armor tanks. This country is going to destroy itself. We talk about united. I don't think everybody understands what united means, working together. We get a little poison in our system, and you can read through that one, and this country is so divided at this moment. You look now, the other thing, Roe versus Wade, is on the table. Supreme Court justices are going at it. What's next? Voter rights. You know, it's like this capsule. Did we dig this up? You know, we talk about time capsules, something that was buried in the 1950s. 1940. Did we dig it back up? Are we opening and thinking it's 1950 again? Ma'am, sir, it's 2021, about to be 2022. And you talk about epidemics. Yeah, it's affecting a lot of people. But it's affecting a lot of people that don't want to wear a mask. Affecting a lot of people who don't want to take vaccines. You do the math. And if it was a coloring book, Harold, a coloring book, they're limiting the amount of colors in the box right now. It's only one color to some. You know, even the primary color is not even in there, red, yellow, green, brown, purple, black. 8 primary colors. But not to everybody. Not to everybody. I'm telling you, something needs to be done. If I can find a song, it's all about self-destruction right now. We headed in self-destruction. Well, boy,
aren't you ready to pull out that old school good one, boy? I don't know. Yeah, it's probably a clean enough version of that out there somewhere for Sunday school, ain't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to find it. We will find it this morning. But it's just too much going on. Again, you know, I always mention when we fight as a country, it is showing our vulnerability to other countries, and they're going to infiltrate. Putin been mighty quiet. very quiet. Other countries are having uprisings as well. But what do we do? How do we handle this? You know, Hal, we both have young people that's going to be out here in this world when you and I would never be able to open our eyes to tell them what to expect or how to go about it. That's why it's so important if you have kids or grandkids right now, you need to pull them in and have a conversation with them. Some of these young folks want to fight. They're ready to kick butt. But we want you to kick butt, but we need to teach you how to kick butt. What do we need? What tools do we have to make this thing successful? Because right now, it's going backwards. It's going backwards. What do we do, Al? What do you suggest?
Well, I'm hoping the conversation has already been started, but it definitely needs to be focused, I guess is a better term for it. That's such a broad question. I mean, we can address it. I mean, I think we're beyond the point of just addressing it in our households, at least just especially you and I, the ages we are, the ages our children are. But it's a conversation that needs to take place in the community, in your actions. What's going on, neighbors? Getting out here and moving around, like I'm moving around. You know, you can't just sit in the corner and talk about it anymore. That's if you want to know my general statement. But it definitely needs to be focused and not just be no misguided anger, you know. Because if we act out like that, all the problems will be back directed on just us. And that's right. What's always, that's why I try to change the narrative so much. But, I mean, I grow strength in just seeing that it ain't just us that realize this mess is stupid, if you want to go there. It really ain't. Really ain't, man. So if we start taking on a more unified approach and looking at the problem, maybe we can come up with a unified approach to help curb it.
Yeah, man, it hurts. It really hurts because, you know, everything we were taught as kids, you get out here and you learn, you do this. This is the recipe to have a good life. But one thing Big Mom and them, they told you about struggle. They told you about the heartache associated. Just pray. That was our thing. Just pray. Well, we're praying, but praying needs some action.
Yeah, you got to put some of that prayer. Say faith without works is dead, right? You got to put it in the works.
Right. And we need this country to heal on this. Again, we are showing our vulnerability to the world. If they're having their own civil war, they're going to wipe out each other, and we're going to take over. You know, we fight each other, and you can just see the influx of other people that have come over to this country to call America home. They steal culture. You know, we try to do our culture. We still, the only group that did not just take a boat over a pleasure, did not fly into the major airports looking for opportunities. We came rough waves. Very resilient group of people we've been. We made, how do you say, we made lemonade out of apples. See what I'm saying? Didn't have to be lemonade or lemons. We made everything we could out of nothing. Coming to a new land, greens. And Harold, we talk about it all the time. Oh, I want the ribs. Let's make some sausage. Well, Master just left us some ears, a snout, a tongue, some feet, tails, ears, lips. Let's cook it and see how it come out.
Hey, you got anybody wanting to weigh in on this in the queue, on this racial divide and political divide?
Well, you know what? I hear them coming in.
I mean, I'm just getting a few text messages. I don't know what I don't know particularly, what's going on your end, but I'm getting a few people that may have a few things.
Yeah, press one, and we'll get you on live. I see a couple of numbers on here. It's still in the listening queue for us. But if you want to say something, give us your feeling of what's going on in this country, your perspective, and if you got any solutions, probable solutions at this point. We just want to get it out. Again, this is a platform for you all to just have conversation. Oftentimes, we don't get this opportunity. We sit in our houses, and we'll talk about it. But this is a platform. Let's get it out, folks. Everybody else needs to be able to converse. Again, I'm still waiting. Like I said, we did this thing in Mansfield where the young man shot, and we found in more details about that. But when your parents know, that hurts. As parents, aren't we charged to teach your children the right way of handling things, treating them to make the most of any situation?
See, that's the problem, though, Andrew. In their mind, they may think they're right. That just doesn't make it so. I mean, if you got an irrational parent, they're going to teach irrational things. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I can remember back in the day before I even had children, people used to say, you should have to fill out an application before you even have them. But I mean, I know that's taken a bit far, but you see where I'm going with this. I mean, I don't know no way to put it nicely, so I'm going to drop what I'm saying.
I'll put it nicely. Everybody shouldn't have children.
There you go. That's that. Thank you, Andrew. See, you be trying to play like you ain't politically correct, but you a little bit more advanced than I am. So yeah.
Yeah, species
weren't designed to be inbred. Let's just put it like that. They weren't designed to be inbred. But anyway.
Wish it was a way that we could take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and see the final outcome. But even when that happens, it's what you put in their head. Is that
there you go.
Every kid is not built for this. If the parents are teaching this, it's kind of, I hate to use this analogy, but this is the best one I can come with. Yes, we are like trainers. You teach your kid behavior. Yes, ma'am. Certainly, yes, sir. Thank you. I'm sorry. Those are things that we were instilled. Excuse me? Wrong folks talking. All right, I'll be in the room.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. You get the step in too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. And kids are getting a hold of adult things now. See, we didn't have the resources. They're seeing the hate of this country on every device that they could even get their hands on, whether it's television, whether it's telephone. And they see what's going on. And they feel as if I am like them. If they hate this group, let me hate this group. I tell you, we always talk about shootings at school. We only had one shooting that employed us, and that was in Mansfield. We shoot outside the school, but we never shot in the school. Remember I used to talk about that? We get you outside, but I can only think of this one shooting in school. And then we find out more about the situation. Yeah, he was getting beat up. He was getting beat up. But now we're finding out why he got beat up. and then why he was accessible, had access to a gun that quickly. You know, old folks say God don't like ugly. Ain't too crazy about pretty either. Folks got to take the bull by the horns and make sure our kids understand what's going on. We got to give them the nitty-gritty, the good, the bad, and the ugly as it relates to these relationships that we're having in this country. Time is going backwards constantly. The fear, and I say this a thousand times, and y'all better work with me this Sunday morning, things have not been the same since Mandingo went to see Miss Sally. That's what they're upset about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you better go get the movie Mandingo. It is crazy. It is crazy how things are going.
Man, I'm
trying. It's about 37 after the hour. Welcome to the world according to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A, right here in beautiful Dallas, Texas, overcast day. It was a beautiful day yesterday, Harold, and took advantage of it. I may sound a little nasal. I was getting that last cut for the winter in. Couldn't find my yard guy. So you know what, Harold?
You are the yard guy.
I used to be the yard guy growing up. I thought that I was being the Jeffersons a little bit and not do it myself. But back to life, back to reality yesterday. And actually, yeah. It felt pretty good. So I think next year I'm going to keep it up.
Good you knew how, you know?
Say it again?
Say good you at least knew how.
Oh, yeah. Growing up, I was a yard man. And you know what my payment was? I had a cover over my head. I had
food. Clothing.
No way. Had a place to park my little car. Everywhere. I was in high cotton.
Yeah.
Only thing, I must say this. My sister did the dishes. We had to share everything. She did the dishes. She didn't have to come outside. So she used to sweep while I cut. And she didn't like that. So I had to cut and sweep. And my trade-off was no dishes. None.
Well, I can't say that then, brother. You're a lucky man, I guess.
Yeah, well, we traded. I knew the art of negotiation back then. I didn't know it had a name. If you do this, I'll do that. You don't even have to come outside. But there was pressure on getting outside to cut. You had to cut before 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. So early in the morning. And I had the type of parents, you couldn't do anything on Sunday after church if you didn't have a yard cut. Yeah, I used to cut the yard before Sunday school. I knew how important it was to them. I even had parents that will open your window and start the lawnmower right down to your window. You talking about alarm clock.
Sounds like a nice one. I could mention some more to you than that one, but that sounds like a pretty decent one to me.
Yeah. It is Sunday morning, so we have to be respectful of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, folks, you know, again, this is a platform we want you to participate in. Just let us know what you're feeling about some of these things. Again, the top headline, we'll go through more. School district releases details of key events leading up to the Michigan shooting. Harold had mentioned that the parents had an idea of what was going on, and you take your kid down there with that? Come on. And then you hide or try to hide?
Oh, they was running. They was outright running.
Look, they found the car, narrowed it down. They were acting like Columbo. You know, Columbo don't miss nothing. And they found the mother and father. And I'm just going to read from CNN for a minute, folks, and just let you know. Days after a 15-year-old student allegedly killed 4 classmates at a Michigan high school, district superintendent has requested an independent investigation into the incident, the deadliest shooting in the U.S. K-12 campus since May of 2018. Ethan Crumbly is accused of carrying out Tuesday's shooting at Oxford High School in a suburban Detroit, and faces a slew of charges as an adult, including terrorism, first-degree murder, among others. His lawyer entered a non-guilty plea during his arraignment on Wednesday. His parents, James and Jennifer Crumbly, were also each charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with their son's alleged actions. The shooting claimed the lives of Madison Baldwin, 17, Tate Mir, 16, Hannah St. Jillian, 14, Justin Chilling, 17. I mean, it's just, think about Harold, we've had kids in high school. It just don't sound right. Just don't feel right when you have these kids killing folks in high school. You always thought, as a parent, you sending your kids to school that you are, you know, that they're in a safe haven. Now it's almost like you got to call, you got to check and see what's going on. What's going on in your school? We didn't have all that. We did not have telephones to call your children. And even if you didn't talk to them, you text them. And you can text them now. We didn't have that. Most of the time you walk to school, and you know, we didn't think about nobody grabbing your child. Because you know what? You had Miss Kate on the corner. You had Mr. and Mrs. Williams two doors down. And people watch you walk up the street. Now, you don't even know who your neighbors are, most of them. You might know one. You might converse with the other. But collectively, you don't know John from Sally and Sally from John in your neighborhood today. It's amazing, amazing what's going on in our country. But we got to straighten up. Harold, I'm always saying again, this self-destruction that we're doing is only showing our vulnerability to the world. You got a kid. Killing kids. Was there any information about him being bullied?
I don't know that, man. At this point, the fact that the parents texting him and saying that he next time just don't have to get caught, and they're being called up to the school for a conference because, you know, obviously you're not doing nothing about what we sending the information and the stuff home. That's enough for me. Uh-huh. I mean, it doesn't even matter what else the circumstances are. I don't know, man. I have people in education, so if they putting everything in place to get the student involved and the parents involved, I mean, that's all they can be asked to do. This is a parent responsibility issue, and if this is just a small example of what's being taught and pushed into these children's heads, that should be enough to know that critical race thinking, take it out of the law school, which is all this stuff started about, and let these children know. Let the administrators have to deal with it themselves. The problem is big, man. It really is. And the solution can be simple. Look at yourself in the
dialogue. We just don't have a dialogue anymore.
That's right.
You know, it's amazing what, as parents, as a community, what we are going through should not be happening. Too much technology, too many resources available to talk and have open conversation. You know, half our kids don't even know what an encyclopedia is. Most of the stuff that we're going through now, it happened, but you got to dig for it. But they have the power of the palm that they can find out anything that's ever occurred in town, in this country, in this world. And they have better resources and still don't know nothing. Still don't have anything. Yeah, they still don't have anything. You carrying guns? Okay, what happened to going to the gun range, Harold? Going to the gun range to learn how to handle a gun.
Now, that's the way it's supposed to be.
No coincidence, you've had two little teenagers with weapons as of late. We can account 2-1. We can account we're not going to leave the Mansfield area out. But again, I mentioned before, with all the shootings at Parkland, Columbine, Jonesboro.
Hey, man.
You got people on. Yes, sir.
I'm just getting blowed up, man. They saying you're not paying attention to your keyboard. You see a 619 on there?
Yeah, absolutely. I just press, if they press 1, I can see that they're on. They have not pressed 1.
Oh, okay. That's what I needed to hear. I didn't say it.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
They dropped off and came back. I do see them. Ma'am or sir, if you press 1, we can get you on. Let me know you're in the queue. So as soon as they press 1, I'm ready for them.
Keep your finger on the delay button because it's one of my people.
Uh-huh. Oh, look. Yeah, look. They raise their hand, Hal. That's new on me. Maybe we done changed the board a little bit. All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to the world according to Drew. What you got for us this morning?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, that's what he keeps saying. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? We can hear you loud and clear. Come on with it.
Oh, you hear me now? Oh, hell, I've been trying to talk all that shit y'all been talking about. I've been trying to get with y'all. Damn.
All right, hey, look, we love the commentary.
But don't forget,
it's still Sunday morning. Still Sunday morning.
Man, good morning to you brothers, you know what I'm saying? Here's my thing right here, Doc. If we only 12%, if we 12% in the United States of America, what difference can we make?
Well, we can make a lot. You know, unification.
Well, tell me how. If we just
don't
avoid it like that, tell me how.
All right, go ahead.
Tell me how, if we're just 12% of the whole 350 million people right here, how do we make that difference?
What do you suggest?
That's what I was about to ask him.
I suggest we go forward or we go backwards. And you know what? It's easy to be seen. What do we do? We go backwards. We surely don't go forwards because there's no power. There's no power in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get up off of 12% of 350 million people? How do we do it?
Well, first of all, I think you made a very valid point of the numbers. But sometimes we're not unified among ourselves. I think if we get together and we can strategize, you know, the little bit we have now, if it wasn't for the SCLC, the people that really fought through civil rights, through the administration of Kennedy and Johnson, I don't think we would have what we have today, the little bit that we do have. But we have to strategize and be unified. Some of us go way out in the Dallas area. I don't know where you are. You know, there's the core of Oak Cliff, and then some move to North Dallas, and now some of us have moved almost to Oklahoma. Hell, we've stretched so far out, Pilot Point. We way out.
I was in Denton yesterday with my son, man, and I kind of felt like I was in Oklahoma. But yeah, it's we everywhere, and that's my point. We used to could congregate in one place and get our strengths together and strategize, but that's just not practical anymore, man. And I don't think we have to be nested into one group, one nutshell, to take advantage of all our strengths.
Right.
This is not just a local problem.
I love both of y'all. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, you know what? We already know what happens when power from a minority begets power. That's a problem. We got to get the babies out of there. I mean, we saw it already. We just saw it. If we didn't live it, let me say this,
guys. I'm a firm believer in begets, okay? But you also have to have a foundation and realize that just because we all don't wear the same colors don't mean that we ain't all on the same side. Because in the end, love is going to conquer hate. We can get that big picture and all that stuff out there. But if we don't start at the basis with these children that are coming out of these households with these demented thoughts, our babies are going to be behind the eight ball. Because we started teaching love, and they started teaching hate. Come on now.
Bruh, man, I totally appreciate everything you said right there. I think it's totally 100% correct. However, if we try to make our kids be better than us, what do? Do we spoil them? Is that the way to become better than us?
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
okay,
we can't steal them from the energy, though. Yeah.
I got you.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
Hey, Andrew, you know what, man? I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
Andrew, I was telling my son yesterday, just real briefly, man, he was saying he wanted to get a job next semester. I said, boy, you ain't got to get no job. I don't care if I got to go get two jobs. You concentrate on your studies. You know what this young man said to me? See, you doing too much. You trying to make this fall kid. I can get a job. And I had to, it just cut me in my tracks, Andrew. I said, well, I'll be back. Remember how we talk about you don't never know when them lessons gonna go permeate them or how it's gonna come back at you, man.
Grandmother's talking, hell yeah.
Yeah, everybody be talking through them, you know. But I just, when he said that, it just struck me, man, that just happened less than 24
hours ago.
Right. Now, both of your brothers, I love y'all to death, man. If we 12%, of the people that are here, what do we got? What do we need to go after? What needs to be the most special thing that we get after? Because we're just only 12%, though. That's just about blacks that's in the United States of America. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But here's the problem.
When do we stop being a minority? Based on that number right there.
Right. But see, the 12% that you're talking about, the 12% means nothing if we don't unify. We have people
Absolutely.
that, It's you know, you can have all numbers and still make a difference, but it's a matter of that 12% being on the same page. And when I made reference to where we live, I know we try to find a place of what we used to call milk and honey type things, but seems like the further out we get, we forget how it used to be, because none of us grew up outside the hood. We might have had some places a little better than others, but, you know, we all products of our neighborhood. They were looked upon very differently because you had a certain part of Oak Cliff that had all your teachers in, and people that we really looked up to, people who could put their hands on you in the right way coming up. Those are the things that we were accustomed to. But the neighborhood watched out. If you walked down the street and you were supposed to be in the class, you know your mom and daddy was going to know before you even got home that day that something transpired. Well, we close the blinds now. We
can't find Miss Vera
on the porch. Hey, how your mom and daddy doing? You know what I'm saying?
How
your grandma
and you know what? I grew up the same way. I grew up the same way, baby, same way. But I wasn't in Dallas, but I was in Detroit. So that's the same way I grew up, too. Same way. Same way, wait. You know what I'm saying? Bruh.
Yeah, but
what I was telling you, if our numbers 12% of 350 million, how do we make a difference?
First
green.
We got to get together. We're so separate. Our minds, how we go about it. If you're driving up in a Learjet, we want to know how did you get that Learjet instead of trying to get our own Learjet if that's what you want. You can't go everywhere in a Learjet. You go to another town. Tell me how can you get from DeSoto to downtown in your Learjet.
You better tell the damn truth. When I say green, I'm talking economics.
We talk local economics. People are talking global economics. I mean, to be honest with you, that's what all of this. That's what all of this war and jumping up in arms right now with what Putin got going on and what China got going on. It's because those countries are putting a chokehold on the world economically. We so busy fighting amongst each other that we're not seeing the big picture. It's where Harold is going with this thing.
You just said it. And I think if you say anything, you told God, boy, you're going to make me go to church today. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you now. That's just what it is. I'm just talking, man.
Like I said, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just talking. So, I mean, this is something.
I love what everybody's talking about. I love this whole conversation. Yeah. But my thing is that, if we can't do, you know we can't do that because our numbers are too small. Our numbers are too small, dog. But we got to be responsible of what we have, though.
We have to be responsible of what we have. I know where you're coming from.
Exactly.
619. I know where you coming from. But my thing is, but we've been given little and counted out far too many times to just give up. They waiting on us to stand up, to be honest, if you really want to know the truth. Andrew, you want me to go on and take the cover off the bag? America is waiting for us to stand up. They're waiting for us to stand up and save them. I know it. I'm going to be nice because I'm going to be brief. I'm going to have to go in a minute. America is waiting for us to stand up and save them again.
Come on, baby. We can't do it. It can be done. But check this out.
It's going to be done under different terms. There's going to be different terms of engagement. You understand where I'm coming from,
fellas? If you ain't lying, guys, a son of a bitch. If you ain't lying, guys, a son of a bitch.
Come on now.
I'm telling you right
there. Hey, Andrew.
This
one of my true was here. He gonna tell you like it is.
But I got to tell him he got to cool it down. I took care of him for a minute.
Okay. I know you're a real journalist.
He heard the beat. Tell him, hold on.
Okay.
Hold off a little bit. He loves it.
Hey, that, no, he like me. You got to get them emotions out, and then you can come back.
Yeah, tell him we love him. Just we got to hold it in time. It's Sunday. We try to respect the fact some people get ready to go to church as well. So we don't want them.
Hey, and I'm sitting up here trying to, I'm pacing as I'm trying to get out the door because I know, hey, man, hey, I'm going to tell you something, Andrew. There are some conversations that go on in rooms with your best interest at heart that some people can't handle the verbiage of the conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how we've always heard that there's deals being made in the back rooms when it comes to business. There's deals being made.
That's what presidents are made right there. Presidents are made the same way.
Yeah. That's right.
Right. Well, you know, here's the thing. Harold, you made a point. We are so afraid to come to the table for issues that collectively for us. You know, every time I walk in my job, excuse me, all right, they have their prejudice because of the skin color. But you don't know if I can.
Yeah, I know they walk on eggshells around you because they don't know what they're going to get. That's why I say the rules of engagement will be different.
I can cut you. You don't even realize you cut me. You see the blood.
That's right. That's right. I told you.
So
I got that from
the art of negotiation.
That joker won't know that they cut
until
they go to
Bitcoin. Andrew, I'm coming to see you, boy.
All right. We're kind of hanging there. All right, we need to say.
Well,
I love your smoke, bro, all day.
I love
you. You from the Motor City.
Because it's good. It's good smoke.
Yeah. Motor City.
You heard me?
But you know, Harold, before you go.
I can't wait to meet you. My brother.
Hey, Andrew. He got Texas roots, man. He been threatening to come check him out forever. He got Texas roots around Texas, Canada.
I'm coming to see y'all, baby.
All right,
yeah.
Man, we appreciate it. Listen in.
Man,
you know,
when you lay your hands on my head, I know I'm going to be good. When you lay your hands
That's
on my
right.
head, I'm going to be good.
What else you got before I get out of here?
All right. We appreciate him being a part.
Lay something else on me.
he got the Harold treatment arrangement for a minute.
Okay.
But
you have to understand, hey, when they wake up in these different time zones, man, you know, hey.
Yeah, I got you. Look, been there, done that. But, you know, you made a point. We have always been able to coexist in this world that we live in. Whether you like it or not, I don't like it.
Anything they throw at us, we overcome it.
Right.
That's where I was coming from. Exactly.
And life is almost like playing trunk. Let's break it way down. Life is like trunk, gin rum. What else we play? Card-wise.
Ooh.
Spade.
I never was any good at it, but what's that other game they played? Bid Wiz. I wasn't ever any good at that.
And that's how life is. You don't know, you know how to play, but you can't play until you get your cards. You see what
that's
I'm
right.
saying? If you
what
don't
you
have
did.
A card
that,
to play,
you
can't
you.
Play.
I got you.
And that's what we have to do. We have to know how to play the game and deal with the hand that we have to get the most out of that hand. But see, again, we don't want to have platforms like this. We don't want to do – it is not always about violence. I tell you, protect yourself. Don't sit up there and – I had to catch myself then. Don't sit up there and absorb every dang on thing.
Right.
And then we protect our families. All right? As mothers, you protect your families as well, but we're going to protect you. We're going to make
right.
sure.
Right. That's what's in order.
If my child goes left, it's not because his daddy told him that. Because I didn't teach him. I didn't learn that. I learned
right.
something else from my folks of what to do so that they scratch the trying to find a reason not to like you. Because, again, they never think what's between your ears, ever. They're bumping in your head, so you might forget a few things. But a brother or a sister with a sharp mind is a threat to society. The way they
hey, let me throw something else out, Andrew, that came to mind earlier. Because you know how you and I, we always make reference to our teachers and our upcoming. Something that came to mind to me yesterday when I was having some, you know, little brief conversations with my child. Our teachers, my teachers, let me just say my teachers, they taught us information that we had to have, but they also instilled in me that we had to be 2-3 times better than the other race. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
And I wonder, was that missing, or was that taken in the wrong context by some? Because we really had to have that edge. I learned later in life, of course,
yeah.
to just even to be considered as level. You know how you and I talk about going into interviews with proper names. It shouldn't have to be like that, Andrew. But guess what? It
no.
is.
It is.
And I'm just wondering, was that lost, or was that misguided by some, misinterpreted by some? Or it didn't mean total isolation. It meant when you got to the party, you had to be ready.
Yeah.
You had to be ready.
And through their shortcomings of things, that's how we learn how to respond. And I thank my
exactly.
folks for giving me the name. And I always say I'm glad that my dad has trusted his name, Harold Hubbard Jr. as well, to name you after him.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of responsibility
yeah.
that you and I feel
that comes with that.
Responsible for because of they entrusted you with their name. Now,
right.
I tell you, and this is life experience, you know, my tan is a little richer than some, always been. I've had friends that said I didn't carry on like a brother with a rich tan. I carried on like I had less of a tan. I was able to maneuver based on conversation. That was my thing.
Yeah.
And it's Sunday morning. I can't get into that as deep as I would like. However,
yeah.
with the conversation.
Ever never. Ever never.
With the conversation, I was able to go
yeah.
to places that I never thought I could go. And let me give you
yeah,
the first hand. When the High Regency came to Tampa, the High Regency, that when they built that, that was the first big major hotel in Tampa. I submitted my application, had a little small resume. I don't have a middle name. So you know what they got? Andrew Wiggum III. Oh,
yeah, they're
all,
probably ready.
All,
hey, they're going to give you an assistant GM position. Hey,
yeah,
hey Andrew,
I,
you was applying for dishwashing. They're going to make you the assistant GM right off the bat.
Right up, yeah. I went from the kitchen to the top floor. On resume
yeah,
alone.
Exactly. Yeah.
I get in the interview, and it was like, guess who's coming to dinner?
Man, get in here. You've mixed this.
Where's this? So I still got the job, but I was going to school, so I wasn't going to be there long no way. So, yeah, I was bad
yeah.
on that account. But if it wasn't for people at my church that worked, that was, you know, in the city council, they put pressure. They said, we send a young man that should be, wherever y'all put him, be the best at what he could be. But, yeah, I mean, just like Sidney Poitier when he walked in. Boy, that face dropped. Like, what?
That's a blessed day heart.
Regardless, you know, we are in positions where we can do great things. And people still to this day will look at the color of your skin and think you can are not worthy of what it is. The vice president right now, she is so disrespected in this country.
Yeah.
Usually it's the president's
and
show.
Let me say it before, when it comes to our local people that we elevate, we'll be harder on our own than we'll be on the than they'll be sometime too, Andrew. You know, I know I ain't telling you nothing. But we'll be harder on our own, boy. If we would hold them to the standards that we hold our own to, boy, we'd really get somewhere in politics.
Right.
I'm just talking politics here alone. If we held them,
But we're envious of each other. Can you imagine when you're in a position to make a difference? When you're in a difference, a position to make a difference, we don't make the difference. You're uplift, and that's a real-life situation for me. I'm just calling it like it is. This is the world according to Drew.
Yes, sure is.
You know how much stronger, we could be if we united? But we drank the Kool-Aid. Jim Jones is still prevalent today. We drank it in Kool-Aid, and we can't, we'll trust everybody but us.
Wow. Interesting.
With Sketch and Fetch, you know, Mr. Benny, how you doing, Mr. Benny?
I was going to say, boy, you almost said something there. You almost said something, Andrew.
But you know what? I'm like Smokey Robinson. You sit back and you see the tears of a clown.
Right. Well, no one.
You see what I'm saying? You dance. You know, I'm a firm believer. I can't dance unless I hear music.
Boy, you done got outside yourself,
Andrew. That's all I'm saying. You must don't have no black sports to give us this morning, but
But when we talk about the state of us, hell, it should burn everybody that's listening.
Oh, it should. Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree.
Because what you see when you look in your mirror is what other people see. Now, if they have their prejudice about their thoughts, that's one thing. But, you know, I give everybody a chance to when you cross me.
Michael Jackson, musical genius, Andrew. Man in the mirror, boy. If we could just start right there.
If you cross me, I know what to do. I know how to eliminate things. But it's so much. Boy, I tell you. Boy, they done clean. Harold, we got another call before you go. You might have to do Sunday school in the park. Hold on.
That's okay.
I'm listening. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the world according to Drew. What's going on in your world, Eric? Good morning. Happy holidays.
Hey, God bless you, brothers. How y'all doing? All right.
Hey, what's happening, man?
All right. Good talking to you. You doing all right?
Hey, man, I know you got something deep, but can I ask you something real quick? Is the state okay since my Cowboys beat them the other day? Or is the state still there?
Hey, I'm gonna drop the mic,
Andrew, because I gotta take my victories where I can get them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the other hand, the New Orleans Pelicans beat the Dallas Mavericks the other night by 19. Now, you know.
Okay. Well, we even. Right. How about that?
We'll call
a gentleman's truce.
Well, before that, though, the Dallas Mavericks beat the Pelicans by 26 points 2 days before that. So y'all up 2-1.
That's okay.
What you got for us
this morning, man? I just had to throw that out there.
We're talking about numbers.
Eric, we were talking about this morning about what happened in Michigan and how people are treating or teaching. Some people are teaching hate to the children to go and do what they have done. We talk also about obstacles that we are encountering in this world. We had a caller came in and so eloquently mentioned about the 12% that we have in this world. And what are we going to do with that 12%?
Yeah.
The same things that we mentioned about just, you know, coming together and try to formulate a plan, if that. But see, we don't all buy into the plan. You know, some of us live so far out from that, we say out in Oklahoma, that they don't want to be caught up. You know, honestly, I'd rather be in the city than not be in the country. Mm-hmm. You can't see everything in the country. Ain't enough light.
Right.
And you heard that. My English teacher might be listening. The lighting is poor. Let me just pick it up and let you know I know what to say. But the thing is that you look at Roe versus Wade, everything that's going on right now, okay, and now it's over, if it's over 15 weeks, everything. They're trying to destroy the whole part of Roe versus Wade as far as the abortion rights. So that's one issue. We look at when it comes to getting loans. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. If you could fix it, Eric, if you could, what do you suggest that we should be doing?
Well, one thing I want to address the 12% issue. I was listening to Malcolm X's speech the other day, and he was talking about the Vietnam War. And he said, well, the U.S. sent X amount of soldiers to fight 80 million Vietnamese. So they weren't overly concerned about the numbers, but again, you got about thousands of military guys, U.S. military guys, going to fight 80 million people. They didn't overly concern themselves about being outnumbered. Now, on the other side of the coin, the Vietnamese didn't have the manpower, didn't have the military might to fight the U.S. Army, but they used targeted strikes to beat the U.S. Army or guerrilla warfare. So sometimes you can't be overly concerned about the numbers not being there or not having the equipment being there. You have to use what you got, as they used to say, to fight the battle. So I think a lot of times we don't use what we have to fight the battle, whether it's we have to use our talents, our skills, our unity, like you all were talking about. And we have a lot of talents and skills. We just have to find ways to put it together so we can win the battle, whether we have the numbers or not, win the battle, whether we have the equipment or not. Well, I think that's what it takes. And I think a lot of the unity comes from lack of knowledge about ourselves, lack of appreciation for ourselves. When we truly know the greatness that God has put inside us, the skills and abilities that he's put inside blacks, then we will begin to love and admire and respect each other. And then we will want to be with each other. We will want to help each other out. And that brings about that unity. But, it's very rare that we find out the greatness that God has put in us current day and in our history. So that, to me, those are the keys to bringing about that unity to fight the battles that we run up against. In terms of Kamala Harris, in terms of her being disrespected, she brought some of this on herself when she was the Attorney General in California. There were many in the black community felt that she put a heavy hand on the black community. She didn't use a lot of discretion when it came to brothers and sisters coming before her. She would always throw the book at them as opposed to using some other kind of intervention to bring about justice. It may have been some alternative sentences that she could have used. Maybe lessening the time that they may have spent, but she wouldn't go for that. She would go for the heaviest sentence possible. Then there's cases of her withholding evidence that could help the black citizens in California, but she would hold evidence, and again, they would get the book thrown at her. So they say you reap what you sow. I think sometimes we let some of these black politicians off the hook because they are black, and we're just glad to see a black face in the place. But we have to look at their record and see, are they really deserving of our support? So I think some of the stuff, this disrespect that she's having now, she brought on herself.
Okay. Interesting twist. But you know what? Sometimes history has a way of keeping up with us, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I think she's finding that out, which is very unfortunate because other people's past has continued to be in the past. But our past seems to always be in our forefront as we try to progress. It ends up being the blocks that we have to overcome in order to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the table that we sit is not always level, and we've known that for years. We've known that. But why don't we, and that's all of us, just everybody of color, is that why can't we make it work for us? You know, you are the vice president. You are the president of the United States. Okay?
Right.
But what can we do? What other agenda within that regime to bring us closer to what is right? You know what? One step forward for us is good. You talk about the 12%. What can we do to make that 12% even stronger?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We link funds to make a difference because now you're in a position where the world sees you, and that's for a position. But let's take it back and make it local. I know New Orleans had issues with their mayor at one particular time. Dallas has had plenty of issues with their mayors. And not mentioned by Harold. This is Harold. You still with us? I think Ron Kurt and the current might have been our only two black mayors in Dallas.
Was Royce a mayor? Was there a mayor named Royce?
No, he's state senator.
Okay.
Royce West, state senator.
Okay.
So, Harold, in your lifetime, we've had two black mayors, right?
Say it again.
We've all had two black mayors elected.
That I know of, yeah. You had to, yeah. That I know of, anyway.
Right. We've had some other city personnel that have
been elevated to like pro tem and that kind of stuff for a little while. Yeah.
Right.
But hey, guys. Before I go, I want to say something about what he was talking about. The how the Vietnamese had numbers and all this other kind of stuff, and then they had. You know how they battled against the numbers? And Andrew, a while ago when I mentioned about the global stuff, slowly but surely, China and Russia are doing some of those similar tactics that were done back in the 60s. They're being done in 2021. That's all I'm going to throw out there. So that's why I started talking about global economy and everything else, man.
Right.
The Russians are trying to take over Ukraine, which that's an economic power struggle move. And don't ever forget China. They got technology, too. And they have if it just want to talk numbers, they can outnumber us all.
Well, you know, China
it's not a doom and gloom. I still think America is waiting on us as a people to stand up and save them again. It's something that you might not have got from me earlier there, Eric. They waiting for us to stand up and save them again. That's where I stand on that.
As usual.
But, Andrew, I'm going to say goodbye to you, man. I'm riding with our mutual friend. She said good morning and all that good stuff to you.
We appreciate it.
I'm going to go ahead and mute myself before you have to. Say it again?
Yeah. I said hopefully Eric can ride it out with me a little bit.
I'll be with you.
We see because I know he comes in and goes. So appreciate it. Have a good one. Say one for us, and we appreciate it.
All right, always.
God bless, brother.
All right,
have a blessed week.
All right.
Eric, the structure. Uh-huh. You know, we look at our black politicians and our people that hold high offices in our governments around the country. They are scrutinized more than others. You know, we can put people with records that are far, far from being squeaky clean in and they have no problem. And I know Vice President Harris has had some concerns of people or citizens of California. And you're gonna have that. You're gonna have that. But we never can shake ours. Never. And when you look at the insurrection and things that are going on, they're getting people from the camp. But yeah, I think you need, in order, how do you say it, in order to kill a body, you got to get the head.
Got to get the head, yeah. Now, also, Marion Barry, who was the mayor of Washington, D.C., you know, he had a shaky personal life, you know. But the citizens kept voting him in because he would always help the senior citizens. He had job programs for the teenagers, and sooner or later those teenagers turned to voting age, you know. And he even dealt heavily with uplifting the special needs community while he was in office. You know, so people in general, you know, will reward the black politicians if the black politicians are trying to help the community, because he had plenty of times, Marion Barry, where they could have voted him out, you know, due to his personal problems. But he kept coming back as mayor. He kept coming back as a city councilman because they appreciate and remember what he did for them. He also helped build up the black middle class in D.C. too, in terms of getting contracts to the black community. So I think in general, the black community will reward and respect black politicians if the black politicians actually do something. Even with Kamala Harris, again, they were asking her about reparations, I think, for blacks when she was doing these prior to the elections. And she said, I'm not going to do anything in particular for blacks, you know. And this was just a couple of years ago she said that. So I think her past haunts her, you know, and she's really going to have to do some things that's going to be specifically beneficial to the black community in order to get this respect from the black community that she may want, you know, or it may not be important to her to receive respect from the black community. That may not be something that she really values, you know, so we have to really see, what she's about, you know, in the future.
Well, you know what, and you're right. We hope and pray that those are interests that she has now. I know we expected the same thing from Barack Obama. But the thing at this point, he had the interest.
Right.
He met with black preachers and everything. But when you're in the high seat, you got to appeal to all. Because that 12%, now let's play numbers. I'm being devil's advocate. If we played numbers, 12%, it was 3% voting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3-5%. This is unofficial. I'm just thinking about, we just don't turn out because we let lions keep us from, in the past, we let lions keep us from being out there in the rain. Lions keep us it used to be lions with poll tax. And those folks, our forefathers and foremothers, they stood in line. They didn't let nothing keep them from voting.
Mm-hmm.
They knew how important. Counted every vote, but how important it was for them to stand in line and make a difference.
Right.
If we just a little bit of that, by standing in line, making sure we follow through on these things, we can be a force to be reckoned with. But we just won't do. We find every excuse. Well, I got to go to work. Did you know that your job is supposed to allow you to go? There's no excuse because everybody early votes. So you have the opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity. Go after church. On Saturday, you know, it's a day of rest for a lot of us. Go out there and stand in line. You got to 7 o'clock in the evening. I know you're taking care of your family. Teach your kids. Take your kids with you. Say, hey, this is what is needed. Instead of telling them, I'm going to buy a gun and you go to school with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just that
Let me ask you,
we got to make lemonade out of apples if that's all they gave us.
Well, you know, I was at church today and they were talking about the very low turnout that they had last weekend, about a month ago in terms of you had citywide elections and it was a very low turnout. A lot of people are just really disappointed in the performance of politicians, and that really cuts down on the motivation to vote. In Dallas, I mentioned Marion Barry being very productive for D.C. I'm looking for productive politicians. Is there anyone in Dallas who you've been very impressed with in terms of they look out for the community and they're very productive? And I'm saying snide about it or sarcastic, but genuinely, are there some black politicians in Dallas you've been impressed with?
Yes, we've had some warriors that have been on the ground fighting for years. Commissioner sure. John Wiley Price, Senator Royce West, these
right.
gentlemen, and we've had some others. That's just two. And
right.
when you start naming, you leave somebody out. You know, somebody's always going to be pissed off. So, but we've had a number. Diane Ragsdale. Let me get a couple of ladies
right.
in. Barbara Calloway.
Right.
Just balance the table. Let me balance the table there.
Right.
That have always fought for equality in the city. It's
Great.
Always an uphill
Great.
Battle. We've had politicians. Look, I always mention we had the real chocolate city here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Black mayor. You had a black police chief, black fire chief, black district. Attorney
sure.
and
right.
a ex-sheriff. And it doesn't get more chocolate than that
right.
In the city that they've entrusted, you know, the charter of Dallas, Texas in. But then again, get blamed because there's an excess of fires. How are you going to blame a fire chief for fires?
right.
Then if crime is up, they want to blame their chief, and we have the same problem, having the same numbers now.
Right, right.
But don't get cry. See what I'm saying? We're under the microscope.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have biology. Eric, hold on one second.
Right.
I don't know if you have biology. When you put something in a Petri dish, and if it moves, that's what you reported, that it moved.
Right.
And that's what we feel
right.
that we as blacks were under this Petri dish, and that any little movement that's just not with the norm, so to speak, whatever the norm may be, then we have problems with it. And which is up to that, but we know we always swing from a different direction, and we just need to kind of do it as it relates. But it's tough. It is tough. I do understand that. But go ahead.
Now,
you're about to say
give something. Me those. You said somebody named Ragsdale. What was her first name?
Former city council, Diane Ragsdale.
Diane Ragsdale. Okay. Who are the other people you mentioned?
Barbara Mallory Calloway. I think that's what it was.
Barbara Calloway. Okay.
John Wiley Price.
Now these. John, what was his name?
John Wiley Price.
John Wiley Price. Okay. All right.
And Senator West.
Well, I gave you two on post. Yeah, and that's good because they need to have that that recognition. And I'm glad you mentioned them. And again, they're deserving of that recognition because you remember of the works that they did. So therefore they're worthy to get recognition. I think what we have to do for these people who did deserve that recognition, Ragsdale, Calloway, Price, and West. What are their backgrounds that separated them from other politicians who didn't do anything worth thinking about or caring about? What's the background of Ragsdale, Calloway, Price, and West that make them distinctive? You know, was it a strong spiritual foundation? Was it a
strong community foundation, cultural? Yes,
strong
advocates. You know, for the citizens of Dallas County and throughout the Dallas metropolitan area. Al Lipscomb, Al Lipscomb put that down. My owner, a resource on this end. She getting me. She getting me. So Al Lipton, put him down. He was a former leader here in Dallas.
Right.
And they really kept the interest of, you know, Dallas is so segregated in so many ways. I'd say the south of the Trinity River or south of downtown is where we mainly live, have lived for years here in the Dallas area. Those have been the warriors since I've been. Eddie Bernice Johnson, who's in house, she's getting ready. She said she wasn't going for another position. Helen Gideon. So I'm giving you a name. I'm getting the list. They sending me names, which is good.
Helen Gideon, you said?
Giddings.
G-I-D-D-I-N-G-S. Yes. And that's good, Helen Gideon. So, again, we had to really dissect their background that separated them from the rest of the pack. Now, Marion Beard, they said he did well because he came from a strong civil rights background. Okay, so that propelled him. Maynard Jackson had a strong.
We have some senior leaders in this group that have been around a while, so I know that they've been on the battlefield for years, had to fight the prejudice-ness of Dallas and Dallas County.
Right, exactly. You know, Manny Jackson, mayor of Atlanta, he had a strong civil rights background. So we have to look at what are some of the touchstone points, what are some of the foundations that we have to put in place to produce leaders like the ones that we just mentioned. You know, it's not by accident that certain leaders are producing and the other ones are not producing. The ones that are not producing, there's something missing in their upbringing and their background. And when that occurs, they get in office and the community has to pay the price for whatever these politicians were lacking, because these politicians came out of the black community. They didn't come from outer space. They didn't come from Mars. You know, they came from inside of the black community. So some of these politicians are getting the things that are needed to produce, and some of them are not. And I think we have to, again, look at or try to draw politicians who come from certain sectors of the black community that will help benefit the black community. You know, what are those sectors? You know, is it a civil rights organizations? Is it a black economic development foundation or organization? Is it a spiritual organization? We have to really drill down and find those as much as possible, be as specific as possible. What are those structures, organizations, or institutions that these people are raised up in that facilitates or promotes their ability to become effective politicians for the black community?
And you know what? A lot of them, too, we have some giants that are here in the Dallas area that may have just flirted with the political arena. Of course, our pastors have always been a part of whether they were part of SCLC or just the clergy in general. You know, that was the place, when you look at our churches in the past, was the place where they wanted, they wanted votes. They came to the church to try to get those, that group of, and we've had some excellent leaders here, Van Holmes. You can put him down on the list.
Van Holmes?
Z-A-N Holmes. H-O-L.
Van Holmes. Okay.
M-E-S.
All right.
Dr. Strick Haney. At one time, he was considering running for the NAACP, prominent pastor in the area. Charles Stovall. We're gonna have class today. Charles Stovall and Dr. Sharon Patterson. She's been a political force. Sharon, Sheron.
Patterson. Okay.
Pastors, which has been the trend. We know, of course, the current Senate representative of Georgia, past pastor as well there at Ebenezer mm-hmm. Baptist Church. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they've always
right. Mm-hmm. right.
always been in the forefront. That has been our target for our political presence from the black community has always been from the church.
Right.
But
exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but you made a point, and I'm gonna have this list with you and see what the common thread. First of all, you got to be able to want to serve. Everybody's not called
mm-hmm.
to serve. Everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, by state they call to serve, but you can tell those
mm-hmm.
who have because they've been able to grow in the process and get to heights that we've only dreamt about.
Right.
And those people are the ones that have been our leaders throughout the
mm-hmm.
country. Not just I gave you what the microcosm of Dallas, the metropolitan
right.
area, but
right.
you know Houston too. And I don't know much about Houston, but I'm
mm-hmm.
sure I'm going to get information down by Houston. But you
mm-hmm.
also have happens in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, any major city.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget Johnny Ford.
Mm-hmm.
the past
mm-hmm.
era.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
Michael
right.
White, past mayor of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Bradley, you know, of Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
And also
right.
former police chief. So,
right.
you know, what I would be interested with the list that we've compiled today to see what the common thread
right.
was with each of to be public servants
mm-hmm.
for citizens in their jurisdiction.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
that is the thing. Because whoever steps up, whether it's Kamala Harris or even someone that we don't know in the future,
mm-hmm.
what is needed
right.
in order to get there.
Right.
You know, we
right.
have an idea of the formula, but maybe we
yeah.
can find something and report on it. That's the
mm-hmm.
thing. And I'm glad you
right.
brought this up. And for those who are listening, we want to stimulate you as well. Let's find out. Let's try to create solutions. See, we sit back in our easy chair, and everything's convenient. You know, we change the channel. You don't even have to get close to your TV. But all of us
mm-hmm.
who are listening, there was a time where I was the remote control at my house. Let's go to channel 8.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kind of fire, all right. You know, that type
right.
of thing. But everything
right.
is just happening to us. But we need to get out here
mm-hmm.
and work, get up and turn the channel. Most of them don't have miles
right.
on now, but
mm-hmm.
but that's just how we've become. Just relying on others, you know, and others in this case, not being human, will be remote,
mm-hmm.
your internet and everything. We don't get up and research. I don't know how a public library is surviving. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Library, when you have resources.
Right.
You know, I worry about
yeah.
that. Eric,
right.
that's a hell of a list that you have. And, you know, we both, I guess, can do our homework and try to share notes on
mm-hmm.
this. Because that 12% of what's going on in this country, there must be an answer. You know,
mm-hmm.
it could be in the names that we have now. It could be
mm-hmm.
the next generation of future
mm-hmm.
leaders that can make
right.
a difference in this. Because we are slowly, slowly going to have to get in the back of the bus, which is unfortunate.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And if they had it their way, the way the Supreme Court is doing, the way the Senate is looking, the way the House is looking. We've gone from the back of the bus to driving the
mm-hmm.
bus. Who knows? They
mm-hmm.
might even try to
mm-hmm.
the drive on them.
Right, right. And you know,
you
one
know,
thing
I always said this country is going backwards. If I could invent
mm-hmm.
a watch that told time backwards, I would.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where they go. Again, kids taking guns to school. Now, I don't know if you were on. I talked about even here in Texas, very few shootings in schools have had us connected with it. This
mm-hmm.
was an isolated incident that occurred in a school with a young fired shot in the classroom.
Right. Right.
But
right.
not when your parents take you to school knowing
right.
that you have a gun. That's crazy.
Right.
And until until they make an example, had it been you or me or anybody else of color, make an example of that. But this young boy, they buying him a gun? Come on. Come on.
Right. Right. I was listening to a show yesterday, and they were talking about in terms of the black youth. You know, a lot of times it's not until they get locked up in jail where they have a chance to slow down and actually receive spiritual or faith teachings, because in the community they didn't have a chance to receive spiritual or faith teachings to apply in everyday life, to learn how to navigate positively in life and not make bad choices. But it's not until some of them, now not all of them would be interested in receiving spiritual teaching or faith teachings when they're out in the community, but some of them may be. And it's not until once they get into prison system that they actually have a chance to receive those spiritual teachings and lessons, whether it be from the church or the mosque, wherever it may be. But we have to make sure that they at least have the opportunity to receive those that spiritual guidance before they get caught up into the penal system, the criminal justice system, or injustice
but, you know,
system.
And we never know, you know, with everybody's upbringing. But right now you can ask some kids to recite the Lord's Prayer. They look at you like you lost your mind.
Right, yeah, exactly. There you go.
Especially with our generation being the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you had to know the Lord's Prayer. And when they start singing the song of the Lord's Prayer, you know, it's a little deviation from what we learned on our knees. Because some people struggle singing the song. Okay?
Right. Right.
It's just the way it was. But now these kids don't know, you know, hey, say a prayer. I tell my kids all the time. You know what? Say a prayer. Thank God for giving you this day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for what he has in store for you. And you have to be right to yourself in order to make it in this world.
Right.
So put your armor. I tell you, put your armor on. Because you're definitely getting pressure from us, your family and friends, in that community. But if you're out doing foolish things, it's kind of hard for prayers to work. So do what's right. You know, if you hear my voice in your head, you know, saying you need to do this, that, then I've done well with you. Or we've done well with you.
And I know Dallas has it.
Look, I only say that because you said, you know, when they get in the belly of the beast, our brothers and sisters are learning the Lord. Well, okay. And that's good. You know, it may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. That I do understand. But I think if we reinstitute the prayers that we learned, that might curb some of the activities. May reduce the amount of kids that go jail into the system.
Yeah, well, I know
they,
Dallas has some
the system to get 3 meals a day. You know, and I can learn for free and get this.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Right.
That comes with a price as well. You can learn and get it. Sometimes people don't take the opportunity to take advantage of what you've learned in a situation like that. They'll hold that. That's a on you.
Mm-hmm. We have some.
Yeah, in this world.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know Dallas has some prolific churches there, like Tony Evans and I guess many others. Ivy Hilliard, he's in Houston or Dallas? Hilliard?
Might be in Houston because it doesn't ring
Houston.
A bell.
Yeah, and then who's some of the other prominent churches there? There's one on the tip of my tongue. Everybody knows his name. In Dallas. T.D. Jakes.
Dr. Frederick.
So I'm hoping.
You have quite a few churches.
Yes. So I'm hoping they have a strong community outreach, whether it's a, a T. T.D. Jakes or Evans or Haynes, so that they can reach the children and provide spiritual guidance and cultural guidance, educational guidance, so that these individuals can stay out of the injustice system or the penal system, to stay out of the prisons, so they can avoid that. And so that's one of the, to me, that's one of the key responsibilities of the church, is to keep our youth out of the prison system, providing that guidance that they may need, you know, or that not may need, that they definitely need, you know, because a lot of times these children just aren't getting the guidance that they need. Stay out of trouble, you know.
Well,
they said in Philadelphia.
Eric, let me interject this. You know, there are a lot of outreach programs there, but I think it all starts at home. You know, I had young parents when I was coming up, but you know what? We had the support system of grandparents. I remember times where a mother would bathe us and take us to my grandmother's house if they wanted to go out. But still, just the presence of making sure it reinforced what they received. And we have such great disconnect with a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And the parents trying to get that little groove on and forgetting to teach your kids how to pray.
Right.
And then first, as soon as they get in trouble, oh, Jesus, help us. Well, okay, I had to understand.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer. Or, you know, whatever religion, you know, we got many more religious angles than we've ever had. But whoever you pray to, pray for guidance and things of that nature.
Let me bring this point up too. I'm not sure how the public school system is in Dallas, but they're saying in Philadelphia, like 70% of the students in Philadelphia, and they have a large black population in Philadelphia, 70% of the students there are illiterate. You know, they're below grade level in terms of English. So they may not be illiterate, or they may be illiterate, but at minimum they're below grade level, 70%. 80% are below grade level in terms of mathematics. So how much success is that child going to experience? How much success would the black community experience with those kind of numbers to work with?
But see, you know, you made a very valid point. And in a lot of our public systems, school systems are struggling. But the thing is, you know what? If I had problems in math, English, all of that, but if it wasn't for the teachers at my church, my parents recognized that I had some issues with math very early, and we worked on it. You know, while everybody was out there playing, I was doing homework. I was learning how to, you know, navigate through these books.
Right.
And, you know, time is winding down. I can talk more about that as we go. But when people cared in that community, cared to make sure kids were up to par, then kids came. And then all of a sudden, you know, here I am, you know, with chemistry and physics and all those things under my belt. And then the thing, you know, some people, it's not that. I was the kid that if you told me I couldn't, I was going to do it. So I never strayed away from those. But it took the village to get me where I was with calculus and math 5. And we wanted to know why wasn't I in Algebra 2 back in the 7th or 8th grade when it was a 9th grade course. You know, those are the things, and that's the drive they put into me. But if we put the drive and set that seed, plant that seed in our kids, I think the outcome would be greater. Parents, we can't sit on things. Challenge your kids. If they have issues, get help. Don't sit up there and say the school is failing them. You get the information. And I'm reminded of this joke where the parent did the homework and the kid said, "Daddy, we got it all wrong." Well, Daddy, you need to sit in class. Sit in class. Things have changed. But if you find things here, I thank you as always.
God bless you, brother.
In the world according to Drew. And, you know, you got me stirred up, too, with some of the names I gave you. And we can see what the comments read. But I tell you this, no matter what background they had, it's all about trying to make life better for the citizens in your jurisdiction when it comes to politics. And even from a global perspective, you know, you're going to find that from a nationwide, you know, you invite everybody from sea to shining sea. And then you're from your county borders, your city borders, even people in your neighborhood saying that we need to get right. So we appreciate you, man. Continue
God bless you.
Just making these positive contributions to the show. Much love to you, my brother. Much love.
Oh, God bless you and your family, brother.
All right. You too. Thank you very much. So as we wind things down, folks, I still want to do this for you. I wanted to play the music, but just give you an update of what was going on in the regular season findings of the MEAC. We had a big game yesterday with Prairie View and Jackson State, but the MEAC, South Carolina State, is number one with a 6-5 record, 5-0 in the conference. The SWAC Jackson State won on yesterday. They were representing the SWAC in the championship. They defeated Prairie View, so they're going to have a celebration bowl. So there's a lot. And then FAMU came up short, but we're going to talk more next week about what FAMU encountered in Hammond, Louisiana. And Eric, if you get a chance, kind of look and find out a little bit more about Hammond, not too far from you. It was an ugly situation.
Okay.
Ugly situation.
I'm sorry to hear
in Hammond last weekend.
Okay.
So, again, we'll go over the SWAC. But, folks, we need to get out here and make sure that we make a difference in the lives of the people that we come in contact with. I've enjoyed today. Thank you for the contributors. We love you. We make sure that you come back next week. Even my brother from Detroit, hey, appreciate it, because this is a platform where we can get things talked about that might not be the mainstream of life. On behalf of Cheryl Smith, I'm Andrew Wiggum. We thank you for being a part of the World According to Drew. We'll be back next Sunday, same bat time. And whatever you do, wherever you go, remember, if you don't take the bull by the horns will take you away. We don't want that. Leave you with a good song here.